So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Again with the THX, Jesus. Look, we're in full fidelity here.
Are we?
And we better be.
I know we're in stereo, that's for sure.
Well, that's a great start. Rock those RCAs.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, man. Corey, I was away last week,
yes.
But I've been doing my research.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope you've been doing yours.
Well, I want to know what kind of research you've been doing.
Mate, there's a conspiracy.
Oh,
in fact,
here we go.
There are several.
Okay.
And, oh, brace yourself.
All right, I'm grabbing the desk.
Yeah, they go all the way to the top. Also, there might be a mole in the agency.
Ah!
It's messed up, man.
What a great start to Flicks in That, but what exactly are we talking about here?
Well, there seems to be a real preponderance of thrillers on the small screen at the moment.
Right.
Let's kick off with Rabbit Hole. This is on TVNZ Plus, and I'll take you through the official synopsis of Rabbit Hole.
Mm-hmm.
Kiefer Sutherland stars as John Weir, corporate spy and master of deception. The tables are turned when a mysterious world-controlling power starts calling the shots, and Weir discovers that everything he's fighting for is built upon a web of lies.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's not unfamiliar terrain for Sutherland. It's kind of 24-y, but with a sort of less espionage-y spin.
Yeah.
So he's a dude who basically manipulates events, manipulates perceptions to get certain things to happen. So minor spoilers of these shows ahead. We'll just sort of talk about maybe the first episode of each of these.
Mm-hmm.
We're introduced to what he does when he kind of cons a guy into exposing a stock market position by making sure he's in the right bar at the right time and gets a fake news story put on the telly, and sort of all these sort of series of quite unbelievable things happen to create an environment where this guy trips up and gets to the desired outcome for Sutherland's character.
Yeah.
Which kind of sets up nicely this idea that the tables are turned, because all this stuff starts kind of happening to Sutherland's character as well. Cliffhangers, reveals, it's all pretty ridiculous. But I've got to say, from the first episode, it's full of implausible things, but the single most implausible thing in episode one is the idea. We see a shot where he's Kiefer Sutherland's character is on the news. He's suddenly wanted for a crime he didn't commit.
Oh,
I mean, you know,
so someone's dubbed
everything's,
him in.
Everything's in here.
Right.
But he's on this, he's on a big digital billboard. They're playing the news. It's got his face on it. In the top left-hand corner, it says his character's name and then bracket late 40s. And the idea of anyone IDing Kiefer Sutherland as being in his late 40s was the single most absurd thing in that whole episode. This dude looks every minute of his 56 years.
Right.
He's weathered. I love it. You know, his same is true with his dad, but yeah, that was definitely some dramatic license being taken there.
Mm.
But I'm moving on from Rabbit Hole.
Rabbit Hole.
Okay. Let's jump into the next official synopsis, and I'll tell you what the show is. Low-level FBI agent Peter Sutherland works in the basement of the White House, manning a phone that never rings until the night it does, propelling him into a conspiracy that leads all the way to the Oval Office.
Well, considering that he's already in, like, the basement of the White House.
Oh, yes, it's just
House.
A lift, isn't it?
Yeah, just, like, it's just a couple of stairs up.
You know, that's
all the way to the top.
That's
just
a great point. I mean, he does end up going on the run because of this. But yeah, he probably just makes his way. He could have just taken the lift. Anyway, this is the night agent.
I think we've just made a showrunner very upset.
Yeah, probably.
Right now.
Yeah. Or look. Or the synopsis writer, maybe.
Okay.
Could have taken a different direction with this. So this this vast conspiracy, it does have a mole involved in it, this
okay,
show as well.
Nice.
So kind of ticking off thriller bingo. This show, The Night Agent, is making its way towards becoming one of Netflix's most popular English language series of all time. Where am I? The stats here are quite mental.
Okay.
So this story from the last couple of days, it's had 385 million viewing hours so far. And it's only been out for like a week or two.
Someone's not getting sleep.
Someone's not getting sleep. Yeah, no. Yeah. Do you reckon someone's juking the stats? Is it like when you just set up a never-ending Spotify playlist for your mate's one song?
That's right. Yeah, you just leave it while you sleep for about 6-7 hours. Yeah.
Mm. so it's got about 120 million hours away from making the all-time top 10 list, which I guess it'll probably do in subsequent weeks. I'm quite enjoying this. This is from Sean Ryan, who's a dude who made The Shield. And he's really kind of got an interest in this type of show, because he's also made shows called The Unit and SWAT.
Yeah.
So dude just kind of wants to make
cop things.
Yeah, guys, suit guys with guns. So it's kind of two current things. They've both got their charm. I dipped into them when I was really feeling like not having a sort of prestige TV experience,
right. Okay.
And just kind of jumping into something. But kind of elevating, or certainly elevating this in terms of the stakes involved for the network anyway, is a show called Citadel, which comes to Prime Video in a few weeks' time, and for the end of this month, actually, on the 28th of April.
Ooh.
This is a huge play from Prime Video, and I don't know if this is related to the increase in the budget, but the synopsis is a bit longer for this one, so just bear with me, okay, as I try and knock this one out.
Yeah.
Citadel stars Richard Madden, Priyanka Chopra Jones, Stanley Tucci, and Leslie Manville, and follows two elite spies, Madden and Chopra Jones, whose memories were wiped after the fall of Citadel 8 years ago. They've remained hidden ever since, building new lives under new identities, unaware of their pasts. Until one night when Mason is tracked down by his former Citadel colleague, played by Stanley Tucci, who desperately needs his help to prevent Manticore from establishing a new world order. Mason seeks out his former partner Nadia, and the two spies embark on a mission that takes them around the world in an effort to stop Manticore, all while contending with a relationship built on secrets, lies, and a dangerous yet undying love. A lot going on there. And there's a lot going on for Amazon, because they have thrown what is reportedly $300 million at 6 40-minute episodes of this show.
No, surely...
Mm.
Wait, how many millions is that per ep?
That is, I believe, 300 divided by 6. Five. It's too much.
That
number is a sources say the cost, right? So let's just cover ourselves a little bit with this.
Okay.
This show's from the Russo brothers, who directed 4 Marvel movies. They did Captain America Winter Soldier, Captain America Civil War, Avengers Infinity War, and Avengers Endgame. And they also made a few bucks doing Netflix thriller The Gray Man a few years ago as well.
Right, okay.
The idea for this show was to do a global spy show where you kind of have a US hub show, and then you can do spin-off shows that are localized in foreign language versions. It's a really neat idea.
Okay.
So you can kind of have this dominating show, and if you can handle watching, if you're an American and you can handle watching subtitles, you can watch the other versions. But those other countries feel pretty cool because they've got their own localized take on it as well. Conceptually, really great. And obviously, we'll sort of, proof will be in the pudding in a few weeks' time, but that budget figure came from a really interesting story on Hollywood Reporter that I read this morning, entitled Inside Amazon Studios.
Oh, God.
Big swings hampered by confusion and frustration. And this piece uses a lot of unnamed sources, so take it with a grain of salt, but really sort of prizes open their content acquisition strategy, how much they're prepared to spend, and the way shows are made there. It's a really interesting read. I don't know really how much credence to put in it. Hollywood Reporter's a reputable outlet, but I think the kind of lack of people putting their names on the line, for good reason, I guess.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but let's, take it with a grain of salt. So some of the things they note in this piece is the cost of Citadel makes it allegedly Amazon's second most expensive show after Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, which is believed to be the most expensive series ever made, and by their own metrics seems to have significantly underperformed. there's some comment in this article that season one is a lot of setup, and I think that's a reasonable thing to say, but it's not a it's certainly not a slam dunk in the way that they would have been hoping for. But one of the other interesting things about this, and it kind of this is why this all sort of ties back to these white men
yes.
in conspiracies that we've kind of been focusing on today, is that while this is reported to have changed, there's a bit of a grumbling in this piece about how Amazon used to be very reliant on audience test scores. Audience test scores which kind of push things towards the average.
Yes.
Which don't really respond well to diversity, because people want to see people like themselves.
Yep.
And if you've got a broad audience and you're testing white men about what they want to watch, quote, "All this perpetuation of white guys with guns, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy." But, you know, having said that, I do quite like watching white guys with guns. If the show's good. So,
if the show is good, if the narrative's good.
I'll be really interested in Citadel. It sounds like a bit of a hodgepodge of different things. It's got kind of a Tenet-y vibe to it. I think in that sort of like mind-wipey stuff could be quite interesting. It is built somewhere that one of the genres is sci-fi, so I mean, that may lend it something that's a little bit more than the possibly other more generic premises that we just talked about for Rabbit Hole and Night Agent. But look, thriller's probably my go-to genre if I can't decide what else to watch. You know, it's like chuck it on, see where it goes. Even those conventional beats can be really fun to watch and see how they're executed. So we'll see how it all rolls out.
Just before we end, you were talking about Amazon Prime and their whole strategy towards content procurement. Are they even doing a good job in that? I know that Netflix is, but that's because they'll just pay for anything and put it on their platform. I haven't seen that for Prime.
Well, they're definitely quite keen to acquire talent. So Phoebe Waller-Bridge is on a content deal there, which hasn't really resulted in anything yet. Donald Glover had Swarms as his new show through Prime Video. But all the players in this market are probably all guilty of the same things, which are they want subscriber acquisition. They've all got different motivations for doing it. Obviously, bizarrely, crazily, you're making a $300 million show, but when you cut through to what the whole point of Prime Video is, it's to generate subscribers to Amazon Prime's delivery service.
Yeah.
So it's...
Hey, it's all in one, baby.
It's all effed up.
Yeah.
But there's probably only nuanced differences between the different streamers' approach to content. But personally, I quite like Apple TV holding the line, doing fewer things, and trying to
do it really well.
Develop a really good offering. And unlike Netflix and Prime Video, they're not interspersing their viewing with catalog stuff they brought in from elsewhere. So, you know, in terms of building up a library of content they believe in, I think they probably would be fairly happy with what they're doing. Do the numbers stack up? Do they stack up for anyone? I think it's all a bit Uber. You know, it's all a bit... it's all a bit of a false economy, but the idea is whoever's left standing wins.
Well, there we go.
All the way to the top.
And that does.
And I've heard there's a mole.
Thank you, Steve.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.